What's up, everybody? This is Carleon Wilson, your Section 2 Hyphen Coordinator, and this is a brand new episode of a Hyphen Podcast. We thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy.
All right, we pray you're having a wonderful time at SoCal Holiday Youth and Hyphen Convention. We love our Hyphen, and this is our first breakout session of this conference, and I am so delighted at this time. I want to welcome your fearless leader, Sister Victoria Reyes. She's coming right now. Let's give it up for her. What do you want to say?
Praise the Lord, everybody. How's everybody doing? Are you guys awake yet? Brother Marco's not awake, so can you help him a little bit? Can you give a hand clap for Brother Marco, our great youth president?
So this morning, this is a unique session. And this session and the thought behind this session was actually birthed because of number one, the challenges that you face as young adults, but also because of what this group was challenged with at Hyphen Conference. How many of you were at Hyphen Conference? Man? So we were challenged with some things there. And so we felt very strong in the Holy Ghost to build on the instruction and the challenge that God gave us at Hyphen Conference. And so this session was birthed out of that. So we want to be practical today. We're going to be spiritual, but we're going to be practical today because we don't want to just be receivers of what God is doing. But we want to give out and be vessels that God is going to use as he is bringing about a great revival, not only around the world, but in our district. And so you will be challenged here today.
So basically, what we want to talk about today, there is a few challenges that Brother Galloway shared with us. It was a powerful message. He spoke on this message called The Second Treasure. And he talked about soul winning. He talked about reaching somebody. And he challenged us with a few things. The first thing he challenged us with was, we all should challenge ourselves to read the Bible in 30 days. And if you are active on social media or if you're on our SoCal Hyphen page, you saw we put out a plan to where you could read the Bible in 30 days. Now, I don't know how many people took that challenge, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because, you know, I don't want you all to feel embarrassed by the people that are one-upping you in this house spiritually. I'm just kidding. But there is a challenge that went out there. And it was to read the Bible in 30 days. The second challenge is the one that we're going to hit on today. And that was to teach one Bible study by next Hyphen Conference, which is in April. And so that's what we're going to touch on today. And if you don't know this, Bible studies are the bread and butter of the church. We have microphones, we have lights, we have stages, we have this box with LED lights and cool things and great music, and it's hopping, and it's all of that. But if we didn't have any of it, we'd still have Bible studies, and the church would still go on. It wouldn't even matter if we didn't have another HYHC again. It wouldn't matter if we didn't have another Hyphen Conference again. It doesn't even matter if we had another Hyphen relaunch concert, or if a worship leader came out, or all of that great stuff, or if another great preacher came out. But if we just had Bible studies, the church would go on. And so, so today we're not discussing some extracurricular activity. We are discussing the commandment of God. And that's to seek and to save the lost. And that's to reach somebody and to teach somebody a Bible study. We're talking about the lifeblood of the church and the longevity of the church. If this thing is to continue, if this thing is to go on to next year, to 2025, to 2026, to 2027, it's going to be based on the fact that somebody taught someone else a Bible study.
Right.
And all of us are here today because somewhere along the line, whether it was you, or it was your parents, or it was your uncle, or it was your aunt, somebody sat down with them and taught them the Word of God. And all of us are here because we're products of what? Bible studies. And so this clues in. This is not just something that I don't want you to come here today and take this lightly and just say, oh, this is another soul winning seminar. that, you know, Brother so-and-so comes once a year to our church and he tries to push us to go to the trolley and, you know, give a Bible study to something, to somebody. This isn't that. We are discussing the continuance of the church. That's what we're discussing today. That's what's happening here this morning. And so it plays into what our vision is from our bishop, our superintendent. I don't know, Brother Marco, can you speak to that a little bit?
There are, think about this. Think about the magnitude of this. There are 26 million souls in Southern California. 26 million souls in Southern California. And so our goal as a district is to reach those 26 million souls with the Acts 2:38 message. And that is yet the only message. There is no other message of salvation. Remind this precious group of young adults. It's repentance, it's water baptism in Jesus' name, and there's a promise that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Our theme is one. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That is still the only message that we preach. We preach Jesus and we preach Him crucified. Our methods will change. Our methods will change, but the message never changes. We cannot compromise. We will never compromise the message. So our goal is to partner with the Lord to reach 26 million souls in Southern California by our pastors, and all of you are involved in a church, and you have a senior pastor. But also there, you all are, if you don't know this, you are all points of light. What does that mean? That means that where you are, the gospel message is. That means that where you are, the gospel message can be preached. We often relegate it to only our senior pastors or the ministry leaders in our church that are, well, they're teaching Bible studies or they're being witnesses. No, let me remind you, you are the church. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been endowed with power by the Holy Ghost, and that power goes along with you. And so one of the biggest armies that we have and one of the greatest weapons that we have are the youth and the young adults in this generation being points of light to reach the 26 million souls in Southern California.
I mean, think about it this way. Mark chapter 16. Jesus is talking. He's ascending to heaven. And he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this is the Great Commission. This is what Jesus has called us to do. This is a commandment. This is not an option. This is not just for your pastor. This is not just for evangelist directors. This is not just for, you know, the people that sit on the platform that lead in ministry. This is a commandment for everybody that's Holy Ghost filled, that's been baptized in Jesus' name. That's right, your command. Right, that's right, your directive. Right. And so a lot of us sit here and we say, man, what's the purpose of God for my life? What's the call of God for my life? Well, first start here. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's everybody from the front to the back, from the side, from up here to down there, it is everybody's calling and responsibility. But the issue is that the Great Commission often becomes the great omission. And so, more often than not, we are omitting that commandment from our life. We can follow the letter of the law, we can follow the spirit of the law, but we don't oftentimes follow the letter of the law, which is the commandment of God to preach the gospel. And it's not just for preachers, it's for Holy Ghost filled believers. And so if you have the Holy Ghost in this house, you have a responsibility.
Right. That's right.
You have a responsibility to preach the gospel to people. But why do we omit it? Why is this the great omission to us and not the great commission? Where does that fall into play? Well, this is what you have to ask yourself. And this is the question, is what moves you? See, Jesus was moved on by compassion. Scripture tells us over and over again, he was moved by compassion. He was moved by compassion to do miracles. He was moved by compassion to heal the leper. He was moved by compassion to heal the blind man. If you read any of his parables, oftentimes you'll see words that are translated into compassion. Like the Great Samaritan had compassion for the victim he found on the side of the road. The father had compassion on his son. Jesus was moved. His entire ministry was moved on by compassion. He was moved by that. And so you have to ask yourself this question, what moves you? Are you moved by what moves Jesus? And so this is where we get in the weeds a little bit, And this is where people go back and forth a little bit in their mind. But really, the question is what moves your heart? And we have a lot of people that say they're in ministry, but what moves them is a microphone. What moves them is a platform. What moves them is likes and subscribers. What moves them is followers. What moves them... And so you got to ask yourself, am I being moved by what moves Jesus? It doesn't matter if I sing another song on a platform. It does not matter if I preach another conference. It does not matter about any of that. I just want to be moved by what moved Jesus. That's why we say, we have that verse, in him we live, move, and have our being. I'm moved by what he's right. moved by. Right. I go where he calls right. me to go. And so this is where we find ourselves here. This is where we find ourselves is that we're being moved by motives that are not moved by the Spirit. And that's why you have to pray every single day, because you got to get the mind of Christ. That's why when we talk about the incarnation, when Jesus comes from heaven down to earth, we read that verse in Philippians that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he was, and then that we could be partakers of the divine nature. We can also partake in what moved God. Because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we can feel what he feels. We can feel a burden that he feels a burden for. We are like him. And that's part of the reason he came to earth in like manner to us. He became like us so that we also could be moved by what moves him. And so this is what Jesus did. He said, you know what? I can't take it for one more second that my people suffer, that my people are sick, that my people live in sin, so much so that he put on the robe of flesh. And he did not come as a king, that he was. And he did not come as the high priest, which he is. But Bible says he put on the robe of flesh and humbled himself even into the point of death. Why? Because he was so burdened and so moved by compassion for souls. That's what moved him. That's what woke him up. That's what brought him down to earth. That's what made him say, hey, I'm going to leave my kingly robes. I'm going to leave my priestly robes. And I'm putting on the robe of flesh so I could save my people, because that's what moves Jesus. Right. What moves Jesus is you and me. And what should move you is your neighbor and your coworker and your classmate.
Right.
And
right.
I don't want to be moved by anything else anymore. And I think this morning we all got to self-evaluate. And we all got to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, my goodness, what has been motivating my ministry? What has been moving me? What are my goals? Is my goal just to sing at HYHC? Is my goal just to preach one day at a big conference? Am I just looking for the... No. I'm looking for the next soul that I can invest in. I'm looking for the next Bible study. I'm looking for... I want to be moved by compassion. And I'm not saying those aspirations are worldly, or they're not good, or they're only operated out of the flesh. I'm not saying that it's good to desire the call of God on your life. It's good to desire to worship him. Those are great things, but your first and foremost calling is to preach the gospel to every creature. God forbid, and I've had to check myself this year, last year, and years prior, and tell myself, Tori, what is motivating you? It can't be position, because what is position going to get you? It can't be power. What is power going to get you? It can't be fame. It can't be money. It can't be anything else. And I've determined in my life that if there is anything else that is moving me, I've got to kick it out. I've got to humble myself until my flesh is dead, because that's what Jesus did. He humbled himself unto the point of death, to the point where he died for our sins. And I've got to be willing to do that for somebody else. I got to be willing to say, I'm going to crucify this. I'm going to put this away. I'm going to put this to the side. Why? Because souls matter more than anything else. Matter more than anything else.
So Sister Tori, you kind of hit it, but I want to ask you anyways. Why Bible studies specifically? Why Bible studies and talk about what the Bible says about the Great Commission and reaching our world?
So the Bible, we already talked about it, the Great Commission, and we need to preach the gospel. It's our responsibility. It's our calling. It's our task. If you didn't know it, now you know it today, that you are called to preach. You are called to teach. You are called to find somebody to invest in and to love on and to bring to Jesus Christ. Now, let me put it this way. People are not projects. This is not Build-A-Bear Workshop, okay? You do not get somebody and say, I'm going to throw a skirt on them and I'm going to do all this and then they're an apostolic now. That's not how it works. If you're saying, wait, I don't know, I don't even know where to start, how to give a Bible study, how do I do it, where do I begin, this is how you start. The Bible says, if you want to have a friend, show yourself friendly. If you can make a friend, you can win a soul. If you can make a friend, you can win a soul. If you can relate to somebody, you can win a soul. People are not projects. You don't have to look at people and say, oh, I'm going to fix this and that and the other. No, God does that. God does that. God fills people with the Holy Ghost. God brings people to the waters. That's God's job. But our job is to love people to Jesus. What does that look like? That looks like making a friend. I'll give you an example. I work remotely now. Now I work remotely. I work from home. I can work from wherever. And so I'm not in an office anymore. And man, I love going into the office. Why? Because I can make a friend. And if I can make a friend, I can win a soul. And so that was like, okay, we're going to the prime field right here. We're going to the harvest right here in my office. That's what I'm going to use this as, right? And I loved going there, but I don't have that anymore. I work from home. And so one thing I started doing is I started calling my coworkers like every day. I just like put my little AirPod in and I'm like, who am I calling today? I'm going to call her. And so I clicked it, call her. What's up? How's it going? I was like, do you just want to work on the phone? Okay, cool. So we just work on the phone. We're just chopping it up. She's telling me about her life. I'm telling her about mine and we're hanging out. Okay. And I've been about at this job for about 6 months now. And then we're talking, and my mom and my sister, they hear me all the time. I'm always cutting up. We're laughing. They're like, are you even working? I'm like, yeah, I'm working. They're just in my ear, you know, we're talking. And so we got to talking, and the conversation went to after work. So I'm still tired. We've logged off. We're not working anymore. And we're talking. And then it turns into, like, her asking some questions. And she's like, oh, I was like, yeah, I got to go to church tomorrow, so I have a hard stop at 5:30. I got to be at prayer at 5:30. And she's like, oh, don't worry, I'll take over. And she's like, what do you do at church? I was like, oh, it's prayer meeting. Tonight's prayer meeting, so we pray, and we do that, and all. And I'm explaining to her what happens at prayer meeting. And she's like, oh, what are you again? And I was like, oh, I'm apostolic, right? What are you again? I was like, oh, I'm apostolic. And she's like, oh, okay, oh. She kind of acted like she knew what I was talking about, and then she was like, what is that? I don't know what that is. And so we start talking about it. I was like, well, we believe in one God. We believe in Acts 2:38. We believe that the Holy Ghost is essential. We believe all of these things, right? And I'm running it down with her, some things that Brother Marco's talking to you about. And then she starts talking. She's like, wait, do you believe in the Trinity? And I'm like, no, we don't believe in that, but let me explain to you what we do believe about the Godhead. So I start talking to her about that. I haven't even seen this girl in real life. I've never met her physically. We're talking on the phone, okay? I never met my coworker physically. And she just starts going, oh, okay, well, my dad's a deacon in our church. I'm gonna have him explain to you what we believe. So she goes upstairs, puts the phone on speaker, and now I am literally having a discussion about the deacon oneness dad. Of God with the deacon at a Baptist church. And I'm just trying to tell you, if you can make a friend, if you could just, people aren't projects. You got to just learn to love people. You got to be moved by compassion. This is why it's so important to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. This is why it's so important to get your head on straight in prayer in the morning. Because when you wake up and you get that mind of Christ, as you go throughout your day, you're going to be not only sensitive to the Spirit of God, but you're going to be sensitive to the needs of other people. And when you begin to speak to people, and when you begin, God begins to draw men unto you, and he begins to draw men really unto himself, but he uses you as the vessel to do that through. When he begins to draw people to him, and you are in the middle of that, all of a sudden, God begins to open doors, and he begins to open minds of people's hearts. Let me tell you, that was not the first discussion I've ever had with her. We've talked about anything and everything, okay? From shopping, to where we go to eat, to what skincare we use, okay? So this is not something that right off the bat you've got to always just go gung-ho on someone and be like, you're a sinner, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah. Welcome to the club, right? But you've got to make a friend. You've got to make a connection. And you've got to be willing to be in this for the long haul. That's what I'm saying. People aren't projects to where, oh, they're baptized in Jesus' name, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, they're living right, they're talking right, that's it, move on to the next one. No, these are relationships that you're cultivating. And we're drawing people to a family. And in your family, you don't treat them like they're projects. When people are your family, you make sure they're okay. You take care of them. You pray with them. You don't just say, oh, okay, you look like you're where you're supposed to be, so I'm gonna move on to the next cousin. No, you have a deep connection with them, and you have a deep relationship with them. And so when you look at Bible studies from that realm, you understand that, man, I might be winning one of the bestest friends I'll ever have in my whole life. It's not just we're winning a Paul, which I know we are, or we're probably winning the next apostle, or we're probably winning the great next missionary. That's beautiful, and I think that's great to think about it that way. But man, I'm thinking of it, man, I'm joining someone into this family. And I get to be in relation and connection with them. And one day this person that I'm praying for is gonna pray for me when I need them. And one day this person that needs me right now, I'm gonna need them one day. And so you have to look at it like that, because God sees us as all connective tissue of his creation. And when we look at it that way, when we look at just simply loving people to Jesus, we're going to look at Bible studies in a whole different realm. And a lot of you will say, well, Sister Tori, I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I've got all this stuff. Teach a Bible study. You will not be lonely anymore. Everybody's looking for their next husband and their next wife, and that's admirable, but why don't you look for your next Bible study? Listen, I have faith enough and I pray enough to know that God will handle that, and I have faith enough and I pray enough to know that God will handle that for you too. And so you've got to say, I know where God goes when I go teach a Bible study. He's working on my behalf. Now let me invest in his kingdom. Okay? Listen, when you leave the bank, the money's not gone. Right? When you put your money in the bank, you trust the bank is going to take care of it. You're not worried about if someone's going to break into it. Sometimes it happens, but you're not too worried about it. You're not worried about anything bad happening to your money. And you go out and you live your life. When you pray, you've put it in the bank. You've deposited it. God is going to handle it. Have faith he's going to take care of it. Go to the bank when you need to pray about it again and when you need to deposit some more things. Then go on and do the work of God. Okay? The problem is that we're so introspective that we don't do anything for the kingdom of God. We're so worried about our issues and our problems. And get it, I know. Trust me, I have 99 problems. I get it. I'm with you. I got family problems. I got health problems. We all got all kinds of issues. All of us. We're worried about career. We're worried about finances. Welcome to life. Yeah. I'm glad you came. Right. And I'm glad you're staying. But it does not take that call that's on my life off of me. It is on my life. It is a commandment that's raining down on me every single day. And you have to wake up and make that decision and say, God, I want you to put somebody in my way. Yeah. I know you're taking care of everything else. I've prayed about it. and I'll continue to pray about it, and I'm fasting about it, but I still need to fulfill the call you put on my life. And so whatever you call me to do, Lord Jesus, I'm going to do it. Put somebody in my way. Put someone in my way so I could teach a Bible study. I was telling Brother Marco this, and I've never said this, like, publicly before. I also, please don't take this as me trying to, like, toot my own horn or whatever. But my goal every week is to teach one Bible study. One. I don't care if it's to the same person. There is one Bible study I have with a young lady that's been going on. My sister's right here. She knows. It's been going on for like 7 years. And we have a Bible study every week. And we make it happen. But man, her baby steps have been baby steps. Okay? But you have to realize this. Everyone's on their own journey. Yeah. Everyone's going to come to God in their own way. You can't rush people. You can't force people. Listen, if she wants to talk about everything under the sun, okay, we've talked about micro topics. We've talked about big topics. We're having a Bible study Saturday when I get home from HYHC. She's coming over for dinner, and we're doing a Bible study, and we're talking about women in Scripture. What is God? How does God look at women in Scripture? Because she comes from a very, very different part and mentality of life that some people's journey is going to take a little bit longer than others. But you got to be in for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
And listen, she has become one of my dearest, closest friends. In fact, it's come full circle, this Bible study, that I met her in college. We were on the same debate team. We're debate partners. I met her in college. She was so far from God, I won't get into it, but my goodness, the fact that she called me for a Bible study the first time was shell-shocked. I thought it was the wrong number. I was like, oh, this is, I put her number down. I put the wrong name on this number. And so it was shell-shocked. But she finally came to God. She got baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen.
But she still struggles with some stuff, right? She still struggles in her walk with God. It's hard for her, you know, to stay consistent in certain things. And so we still have Bible studies about these micro topics because she comes so far from the Lord. Like she came to church one time and she's like, they keep talking about fire. Isn't that bad? Don't we not want to go to the fire? And it was so sincere, and I was like, okay, wait, we got it. Okay, we're explaining this. And then she's like, what is anointing? That's like I've read that in my old English like textbook about like kings, but what is anointing? Everyone keeps talking about anointing. We got to explain words like revival. Like, what is that? What is revival? What is it? And these are words that we readily understand, yeah. But when somebody that has no idea about God, about church, about anything, comes to this knowledge, you have to sit there and you got to explain these things to them. But it's been such a beautiful, beautiful journey with her, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Why? Because she's taught me so much, and I've taught her so much, and it's been a beautiful friendship and relationship. But so she comes from an absolutely far off place, but now, you know, we're starting to acclimate her, and she's starting to get farther and farther in truth. But this is the thing about Bible studies. If you determine in your heart, hey, God, this is my goal. I want one a week. I want to teach one Bible study a week. And I tell the Lord this. I want a new person. Sometimes I'm sick and tired of teaching the same people. I'm like, I want a new person. Put somebody in my way. Help me to be sensitive to the needs of people. And God will meet that need. Listen, we pray for, how many of you, God has ever answered a prayer? Answer a prayer for you. Everybody in this room has their hand raised. He will answer your prayer if you ask him to give you a Bible study. He really will. He will. He will put people in your way. Now, a lot of you will say, well, wait, I'm shy. I'm timid. This is not my personality. This is not how I roll. Sister Tori, I can barely talk in front of like two people. I have one friend, and that's the only friend I have, and it's the only one. You need to get out of that. In fact, you need to pray and ask Jesus to help you. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, meekness, all of that is part of your Christian walk with God too. And so having compassion for people, having love for people, that's part of a root of your Holy Ghost. And if you're missing that, you need to ask God to refill you again and baptize you with his love, with his joy, with his peace. And then you need to pray the same prayer that the apostles prayed in Acts. This is what they did in Acts. The Bible says that when they were arrested and they were being persecuted, the first thing they did when they went to prayer was, God, give us boldness. They didn't say, God, save us. They didn't say, God, get us out of this mess. They said, give us boldness to stand for truth. So if you're struggling and saying, oh, I'm shy, I'm timid, I'm this, I'm that, trust me, I used to be the same way. And now I'm talking in a room full of 200 people, and I'm scared to death, but it's okay. We're working it out. God will baptize you with boldness. He will give you the same boldness he gave the disciples. He will give you the same boldness he gave the apostles. He will give you the same boldness he gave the prophets. He will give it to you. And I know we're talking in practicalities, and this is real. I feel like you guys are all in my living room right now. We're just talking like, you know. But this is important. You've got to get this. You've got to catch this burden. You got to be moved by what moves Jesus. And you've got to look at it this way. I tell people, you know, psychology says ego's a circle, right? I'm like, well, ego's a straight line for me, right? And pride is a straight line for me because it coincides with ego, okay? And so you have people that are super prideful and they're really loud, right? And they're like, rah, 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 look at me. I'm strong. I'm the best. I'm this, I'm that. But then you got shy people that are on the other side. And they're shy and they're timid and they're always worried about what people are saying about them. Well, the same worry that that extrovert has is the same worry that the introvert has, and it's about what other people will say about them. And so you have just as much pride as the person that's pumping their chest, saying, I'm this, that, and the other. It's a pride issue. The shyness is a pride issue. You're so hopped up and you're so concerned about what other people will say about you. You're so concerned about rejection. You're so concerned about perfection that it holds you back to the point where you can't even speak. That is pride. It's the same thing that makes the person pump their chest. And it's the same thing you got to deal with in prayer. And you've got to say, God, deliver me from this pride. I don't want to constantly worry about what others are saying about me. I don't want to constantly worry about perfection. I don't want to constantly worry about what other people may feel about me. I want to live boldly. Yeah. And I think the same thing that holds us back from Bible studies, right, from teaching Bible studies, is that pride, that shyness, that thing that creeps into us, even the most extroverted of us. Because trust me, sometimes God will put it in my spirit to go talk to someone at the coffee shop, and I don't want to do it because I'm scared. I don't want to get rejected. I don't want them to look at me and say, oh, you're crazy. I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want none of that. It's fear. And I'm being captive by fear. But we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us enough to love people to him. You have everything you need in your disposal. You have the Spirit of God, you have the power of God, and you have the love of God. And you can go and reach your world with just that. I think I went on a little bit of a rant there. So we talked about a couple of just like little key points, but why do you think young adults in this generation, we're so timid and we're so timid when it comes to Bible studies, but we're so inclined when it comes to other ministries? What do you think that reason is? Why do you think we end up that way?
I think we've unintentionally perhaps created a culture, even in Pentecost, of consumer Christians. Hmm. Where it's, hey, feed me. Yeah. And preacher, what's something that's gonna, you know, cause me to shout here, and I wanna hear just a great word from you. If you would observe the landscape. And it would be interesting to take a survey of the ministries that you are involved in at your church. Most of the ministries that we are involved with are inward facing. What I mean by that is they are to support what's happening on Sunday. And there's nothing wrong with this, all right? But I want you to think about this for a second. You in this room, you're either on the praise team, you're in the band,
yeah.
You're running sound, you're running media, you're on the social media team, you're on the live stream team, You might be a greeter. You might be an usher. You might help set up. You might, whatever it is, on any given Sunday. And we push our young adults. And believe me, we're big on serving, even at my church. But oftentimes we relegate ministry to what's happening within the four walls of the church. And we've neglected to realize that the greatest ministry that you and I can be involved with is what's happening on the outside of the church. This is why Bible studies are so important. And I love it. Believe me, I love it. Thank you. Thank you for serving in your church. Thank you for being there early. Thank you for practicing. Thank you for everything that you do within the four walls of the church. But we need to move from a mentality of consumer Christianity. What can I do for you to feed me? Consumer Christianity in that I serve, but this is what I do. And this is my only lane which I serve in. Let me tell you, there's another lane that you can serve in. There's another lane that will bring revival to your church. And it's Bible studies. And here's the thing. There's nothing glamorous about Bible studies. There's nothing glamorous about it. And why is that? At least we think that. Because it's not something that we'll post on Instagram. It's not something that Carl and his creative team are going to capture you while you're teaching that Bible study. And you post it. And it's like, oh, this is awesome. And it's got Marco's Bible study. And we got the cool graphics around. That, it's not it. It's not it, but it's impactful. Jesus called his disciples to deeper commitment. Watch the progression. Follow me and I'll make you to become. Follow me and I'll make you to become. Anyone who, if you don't hate your mother or father, you cannot be my disciple. First level, follow me. That's awesome. I can do that. I can follow. Hate your mother and father. In other words, love me more than anything else. That's a deeper level of commitment. Then he says, unless you partake of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. Whoa. Hold on there. That's you, do you see the progression? And the crowds began to diminish as the progression and the commitment became greater. Right? We can't be satisfied with, I'm just following Jesus. We can't live there anymore. We can't be satisfied with, yeah, Jesus, I love you more than anything, right? There needs to be a deeper level of commitment, and it comes with what Sister Victoria is saying. And this is why this session is so important in this generation, because we have this great treasure. The treasure's in the field. We've purchased the field. We know the treasure, but now it's time for us to move from the treasure is mine to, hey, come, let me tell you about this treasure that I have. So we need to move. It's time. It's time for us to move. And again, there is nothing glamorous about times where you're having Bible studies. I can think of a Bible study that I'm having now with a guy, and his name is Abraham. And Abraham has tons of questions. We started our first Bible study. And it turned into just a counseling session. And oftentimes, you end up just listening more than you do teaching. Where's my man at? We were just talking about that earlier. And he's telling me about his life. He's telling me about I was in this gang, and he named the gang. And I'm like, dear Lord, this guy's going to kill me in the middle of this Bible study right now. Y'all pray for me, right? Yeah. If it's my time to go, God, it's my time to go. I'll be teaching a Bible study when I go. But he's telling me about his life and his past, and it just opened the door to conversation. But David is he texts me often. In fact, it was Tuesday when we're here. We're setting up, and hey, can I ask you about tattoos? That's always a fun one. Yeah. Hey, I was reading in 2 Samuel where the Spirit of God or the Bible says that. God took his spirit off of Samuel. What does that mean? I'm here with my dad. Can you talk to us about that? Sure, let's talk. And then yesterday, hey, I've never fasted before. What is that? all these things that we kind of know. We know what fasting is, but he's asking, what is fasting? How does that work? Do we have to? Is that like, are we punishing ourselves? So we're having these just God conversations, but that's what Bible studies are all about. You don't just, you know, press down on the toaster and then pops up and here's a Christian, here's an apostolic Christian. They have it all together. No, it's messy. Hear me, it's messy. But it's worth every bit of your investment. Every bit. Abraham was in and out of our church. And let me tell you this, you don't have to look far for a Bible study. You don't. You can look within the church for Bible studies. Because you and I know those people in our church right now that their commitment to the church is probably once a month. That was David, once a month. And there was a recognition, and I can remember that moment. I just looked out and I saw David there, and my heart felt drawn to him. And it was just a simple, hey bro, how you doing? Man, you know what? It'd be great to get together with you and have a Bible study. Would you be interested in something like that? That's typically my lingo there. And they either say, I don't know, or yeah, that'd be great. For David, it was, that'd be great. Well, the next Sunday, guess what? David was coming by himself. But the next Sunday, he brought his wife. He brought his kid. The Sunday after that, he brought his sister-in-law. And they have been faithful every Sunday since we started our Bible study. You want to grow your church? Have a Bible study. You want to grow the church? Take some time out of your busy schedule. I know you've got school. I know you've got work. I know you've got all of these things. Life is only going to get busier. Stop with the excuses of why you can't and just dive into teaching Bible studies. We have this rule at my house. Our kids are not allowed to say, I can't. It's a bad word in my house. Oh, Dad, I can't do that because... No, Mila, you're not allowed to say, I can't. Because that's just an excuse for my kids for their laziness. We will often make excuses for our laziness as to why. Well, I can't because I've got to be at the church for this, or I got to be at the church for that. Okay, for some of y'all, it's time to cancel. Someone else can set up the table. Someone else can put up the coffee. Someone else can do this or that and the other. Go teach that Bible study. Go spend time investing in the life of someone else. So we've created this culture of consumerism. It's just, you know, feed me. There's another Bible study I had with a couple, Jose and Jenny, another couple that was in our church. They were just kind of on the fringes. And I do 12-week Bible studies. And so there, it's kind of a deeper commitment, right? 12 lessons, 12-week Bible studies. And David, like I said, he's in the church. But sometimes there's going to be Bible studies that there's no, it seems like there's perhaps some initial fruit there. We went through the whole 12 weeks of the Bible study with Jose and Jenny. Jose ended up getting, was baptized in Jesus' name. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Jose and Jenny haven't been back to the church for months. It's not always the story that ends with, and God filled them, and God did this, and now we have 3,000 people coming to the church. Sometimes it's not like that, if I can be real. We're just being real here. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's disappointing, and you have to fight that disappointment because people are people. People will, they were there, they were connected, they were engaged, but they stopped coming. I still reach out. During Christmas, they get a text. Thanksgiving, they get a text. At least once a month, I text him, hey, thinking about y'all, miss you, hope everything is well, right? You still have that connection. But here's what I know about God. That seed that was planted in their heart, it's rooted in their heart. That's a seed, right? I did my best to water that seed that was planting. Maybe I won't be the one to see that tree really take roots and grow. But I know somewhere along the lines, they're going to get planted somewhere. They're going to be connected with someone else. And the seed that you plant initially, someone else may water. God gives the increase. All the glory is going to him because those souls are going to be saved. So let's move away. It's time. Hyphen. It's time. Let's move away from consumer Christianity and really dive into teaching these Bible studies. It's vital. It's important. It's going to change the landscape of your church and also your hyphen ministry. Amen? Amen. So, Sister Victoria, how do we start? That's the question. Yeah. What's the beginning point? How do we even start teaching Bible studies? Yeah. Talk to us about that.
So this is like I said before, if you can make a friend, you can win a soul. You're going to start having to get out of your shell a little bit. We talked about that. And you're going to have to start getting in the Word and getting in prayer too. So the Bible says you got to be ready to give an answer to any man that asketh of you. So you got to be ready for that question via text message about tattoos. You got to be, and the Bible also says he that winneth souls is wise. You also got to use wisdom to understand where people are in their spiritual maturity and understand maybe they can't eat this up yet. Maybe I shouldn't be so hard. Maybe I shouldn't be so direct. How can I say this in a way that's not lying or usurping truth and still giving them what they need? And so you've got to use wisdom, and that wisdom only comes from God. And that's why prayer is so important, that you're linked with God so God can give you that wisdom on how to deal with people, right? And then you've got to get in the Word, because you got to be ready to give an answer to any man that asketh of you. You got to give scripture. You have to be grounded. You can't just be saying, well, my Sunday school teacher says it this way, or my pastor, they're not going to buy it, okay? They want scripture. They want to see it. They want to read it. There was a point where I stopped using tracts because it weirded people out. And so I just would bring my Bible, and I would bring a Bible to them, and I would study it enough to where I could give them the oneness of God. And if they had any questions, I would know what scripture to go to, and I studied it enough. That's why the scripture says study to show yourself approved. And I studied it enough, and I said, here's a Bible, and we're just going to read what the Bible says. No tracts, no online links, no nothing. We're going to see what the scripture says. And some people are going to be that way. And some people are going to need the flip chart. And you're going to have to break the flip chart out with Moses that looks like your Sunday school class from 1992, okay? Some people
they've
need,
updated that. They've updated it.
Just make sure. Mine's not updated. Or sometimes you're going to have to just break out a track because they need the track and they need this. But you got to be sensitive to what the needs of people are. And everybody is different. Like all your friends are different. All your family members are different. Everybody's different. And you've got to adapt to that. But you've got to be willing to invest in people and love on them and have a relationship with them and go the extra mile with them. That's how you start. Go to the coffee shop and just go be nice to people. Just give an extra tip. There is one lady that Natalie can vouch for this. Me and my sister used to work together, and we would go to this coffee cart that served the worst coffee you have ever tried on the planet.
I'm not winning that soul.
It's not for everybody, let me tell you. I promise you it's made me sick a couple times, okay? There was one point where I was drinking it, and I was like, I'm drinking gasoline right now. Like, this is petrol. This is supreme. Okay? It was terrible. But we went to that coffee cart every day. And we just sat there and we just talked to the barista. And Natalie, she still works there, so she still goes to that coffee cart. And now that lady still looks for Natalie. And Nat tries to invest in her life, and she tries to pour into her, and she tries to find moments to share the work of, to share Jesus with her, and all of that great stuff. She has a disease that she needs healing from, and all of that stuff. And Natalie will say, "Well, we'll pray for you." And it's investing in people, and you just got to put seed in the ground. God gives the increase. Just keep pouring seed. You might not be successful every time, but just keep sowing seed. Keep developing in people. Keep being there for people. There's shops and there's restaurants and there's places I go to all the time because I'm just trying to invest in people. I just know God has something for them, and I just want to be moved by compassion for it. I just want to be moved by what moves Jesus, and that's how we start. So this is what we're going to do today, okay? This is how we're going to end this session. In the back, we have some of our hyphen team members. They're going to hand to you, please, nobody, don't anybody in this room leave without grabbing one of these. Please, please. They have Bible studies. Each and every one of you are going to get a handheld Bible study. And your goal today till April is to teach one Bible study. We have about, what, 250 people in here?
Yep.
We could double that next HYHC if everyone in here taught a Bible study. Yeah. Everyone. Yeah. Actually, the our team members will hand them out right now. Come on down. They're going to pass them out to you. They're going to pass them out to you. But this is your goal. We're putting it in your hand. And if you say, I don't know how to teach it, I don't know how to teach a Bible study, Sister Tori. I don't even know how to express it. I could barely read this pamphlet and understand it. I want you to go to your pastor, go to your hyphen leader, go to your youth pastor, and say, hey, teach me how to give this Bible study. And they will teach you how to give it. So they're passing it out right now. But can you all stand all over this place as you're getting your pamphlet? Can you all stand?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us.
Well, I know there's some of you in here. I've only been in church for 2 weeks. I've only been in church for a month. I've only been in church. You're the best soul winners in here. You just got the goods. You're hyped off the Holy Ghost right now. And so go show somebody, go tell someone to come to church with you. So this is what we're going to do. I want you to lift your pamphlet up. I want you to lift your pamphlet up to the Lord right now. Brother Marco, he's going to pray over you. And God's going to put somebody in your way. And what's in your hand, you're going to give to somebody else. What's in your hand right now, you're going to teach somebody else by April, by Hyphen Conference. God's going to do it. Oh, there's a lot of faith for that. God's going to do it. God's going to put someone in your path, and you're going to see your family filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to see your coworkers filled with the Holy Ghost. It's going to happen. You're going to see people go through waters of baptism. So lift your pamphlet up. Brother Marco is going to pray over you, and we're going to see God do it. In Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Jesus, God.
Lord, you're in our shout.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. For more encouraging messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out past episodes. If you like what you just heard, please consider rating and sharing it with friends. God bless, and don't forget to be a hyphen.